You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
This edition of It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, your partner for global wealth creation. Welcome to It's My Money. It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth. And Brenthurst Wealth is South Africa's multi-award winning wealth manager now for over 20 years. With me now from Brenthurst Wealth is Ruan Briet from Brenthurst Wealth in Stellenbosch. And Ruan, you want to talk about property today. That's an interesting one, isn't it? I mean, especially with interest rates falling, not only in South Africa, but also worldwide. So property investments start to become a focus. Now, what do you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about commercial property or residential property and buy or rent? Is that the subject you want to cover today?
Well, that's right, Lindsay. And I think, you know, the focus would be more on residential property, given the fact that that's always the, you know, the main topic of discussion around the Braai fires over weekends. And that tends to be a polarizing topic of discussion. You get both sides of the coin. And what makes that type of discussion very difficult is the fact that on both instances, people are all right and wrong at the same time. You get those individuals who are for buying as opposed to renting and vice versa. And I think, you know, what makes it difficult most of the time is that, you know, both people at both ends of the stick has got a point. But I do think there's a general misconception in viewpoint that overall nine times out of 10 that property is a good investment because of the leverage, because of, you know, a couple of factors, the assumed growth over a period of, let's say, 20 years. But indeed, when you dive a little bit deeper, you will find that that's not often the case, that a property that's being bought for 200,000 in 2000 and being sold now for 2 million, it's not necessarily a good investment if you take it on face value.
Yeah, that's your first paragraph, actually, and I'm just going to read it just to reiterate what you've said, Ruan. It says here, ever heard a relative or neighbor telling you how great an investment property is based on the 300,000 home bought in 2000, now selling for 2 million 20 years later? On the surface, it seems like a great investment, you say, but is it? And that's quite right. I mean, it's all very well, but, and it's all very clinical as well. I mean, I must say this is a clinical argument, completely stripped of emotion. You put your money into this house and you make money out of it on the surface. But if you'd have put that 300,000 into, for example, an overseas unit trust or collective investment or S&P ETF or something like that, you would have made much more, Ruan, I think.
That's right, Lindsay. And I think that, you know, another important thing to consider when engaging in this specific discussion of this topic is to keep in mind that the point is not to bring over what's the best investment or that there's something better on the market or whatever the case might be. I think the point is rather bringing under the attention of individuals that the only assumption that should be made when calculating the return on your property investment is not that you simply have to take the selling price and compare it to the price that you paid for it. I think there's a bit more to it. So I think that's the idea of this article and this discussion is to bring under the attention that there's a lot of hidden costs and costs involved in owning a property, and those costs are normally quite comfortable being excluded in the calculation whether a property was a good investment or not. I mean, I just read an article this morning that said that we've got some of the highest cost to purchase a property compared to the rest of the world in South Africa. And, you know, that's another factor that places a large barrier of entry on owning property, and people tend to look past that. And the irony of it all is when you see clients in the office with, you know, clients with investment portfolios or investable cash assets and the discussion around a proposal, whether local or offshore, whatever the case may be, there would be a large part of the discussion that would focus on the fees of the management of the investment. But no one questions any fees or cost, let's rather call it cost, associated to buying first of all and owning a property. So that tends to be quite easily forgotten when it comes to property, but when it comes to managing financial assets for a client, then you know there's a bit of a focus on the fee side of things, which is quite funny because I mean the cost of owning a property is nothing else than investment management fees, because you have to spend an X amount of money to keep up the property, to pay the insurance. Those are all investment fees at the end of the day. So once you start to bring that into account, you will be surprised that owning or investing in property comes at a much higher cost than simply managing a portfolio of financial assets.
But you have to bring in the emotional side now. Let's say you're a young couple planning to have a family. You do have a family and you're renting. Anything can happen. I've been in this situation. The good side of it is the geyser bursts or the roof starts to leak. You phone up the owner, essentially your landlord, and you say, excuse me, this is happening. And they come over and they fix it. It's their obligation to do so. But when you're a property owner, you have to do it yourself. So that's the downside, one of the downsides of doing it. But on the other hand, I've also had a situation where the owner says, well, I'm selling the house now, so you've got to get out. So there are different things. You can't divorce yourself from emotions and financial benefits or not. You have to say to yourself, I want to live here for the next 20, 25 years or something. I want my children to have this base, this place that they can call home without having this dark cloud over me, knowing that one day maybe I'm going to have to move. I think I'm right on that, aren't I, Ruan?
No, you're spot on, Lindsay. You nailed the head exactly. And I think, once again, there's a big discrepancy or a big, you know, differentiation that should be made. Is it a property investment or a property for primary residence? I think you take a bit of a, you know, a different approach to each, the way you look at it and the way you do the math. You know, when it comes to purely an investment property, I think you obviously have to place a bit more focus and emphasis on the cost associated in owning that property. But when it's a primary resident, or the idea is to stay in the property for X amount of years for your own use, I think, you know, then there's obviously a bit more leeway that should be allowed in terms of cost of owning the house, because you buy it for a completely different reason. Obviously, the viewpoint will be to, or the wish would be to buy a property for primary residence, which will also grow in value. You know, no one wants to buy an asset that, you know, that depreciates. But I think the point I'm trying to make is that there's a different discussion to be had in terms of whether it's property for investment purposes or property for primary residence purposes. I don't think you can view the two in the exact same light. But when it comes to purely investment properties, I think, you know, like I say, there's a bit more to it. There should be a bit more thought going into the costs involved in running and owning a property. Where is the property located? Is it in a well-run economy? Is it in a well-run town or suburb? What does the market look like, as opposed to just, you know, buying a property for your own purposes?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you make a distinction, I think, between a primary property, which is where you live, where you and your family live and you want to stay, and it's home, as I said in my previous comments, an emotional investment. But there's other people that buy houses and say, right, I'm going to buy this house, it's in a good area, it's a good price, and I'm going to rent it out. But it's not quite the same. It says here, your piece that you sent me, research done by the South African Property Owners Association showed that property rates and taxes increased by an annualized rate of inflation of 8.2% or 12.1% nominal during the years 2005 to 2016. That's way above inflation, I think, way above average inflation, Ruan. So that's quite punitive.
Yes, that's 100% right, Lindsay. I think there's a lot of external factors also impacting the, you know, whether you go for a property investment or, you know, like investable assets, financial assets, which takes the form of either share portfolios or unit trust investment. I think also touching on that, the biggest drawback is in terms of, you know, from a property investment perspective, and this is now purely investment purposes, is the fact that you tie in your capital in a specific jurisdiction, and cannot by any means move your capital unless you sell the house. You are purely invested in a certain geographical area, and obviously a very concentrated area on top of that as well, in one country, in one province, in one town, in one suburb. You know, if you take that stance with an investable portion of your wealth or liquid assets, it's a lot easier to move capital across geographical regions or gain additional geographic spread in your portfolio, which is something that a property invest, which is one of the, I would say, the cost of owning a property or the opportunity cost of owning a property is your limitations in terms of moving capital to anywhere you'd like.
Yeah, quite right. Okay, so it's a very complex situation here. If you're someone who knows that you're going to live in this particular area, this particular country for a long time, you have a family, you have to buy yourself a primary residence, one that you're going to live in. But on the other hand, if you're a speculator, do you have a look at a couple of properties and you say, right, I can buy these because they're cheap and because it's a good area and I want to rent them out? It's a very, very difficult sort of juggling act. What is your advice to someone who A, wants to buy a primary property, or B, wants to invest in property for an investment purpose?
For a property investment purpose, then I would say my primary advice would be really be open and honest with yourself regarding the cost involved. That would be the, you know, anything between the initial cost, which is the bond registration cost, if you finance the property, the transfer cost involved, the, you know, all the lawyers' fees, and then also obviously the ongoing fees, which is your upkeep of the property, your insurance, your levies, all your utilities. Those are all things that plays a big role. Security costs, all those things come at a price. I think be honest with yourself, do the math, and see if it adds up. Will you get will you get the return on investment via the growth of the property or rental income or both? I think that's a big differentiating factor to consider.
Mm.
And I think, you know, when you discuss primary residence properties, I would say, I think try and, you know, build up substantial capital to put down a large amount of deposit. Otherwise, you know, interest is something that kills people over time, and you just never tend to pay down your property. And at the end of the day, you'll pay 4 million rand for a 2 million rand property. That's the other thing I would say.
Yeah, this is just a personal view, not a Brentest Wealth view. I can't imagine being the owner of a house and renting it out and having a call every few weeks saying this has happened, that has happened. And also, you know, despite how much vetting you do, the people that are renting the house do sometimes behave badly, but that's just me. Now, Ruan, the final question after your analysis is very simple. You are recently married, and congratulations on that. Do you and your partner own a home?
Lindsay, at the moment, we are renting ourselves, to be honest, and we really enjoy it. I have to say the flexibility that comes with it is obviously nice to have. You're able to move around, but once again, the flip side of the coin is we are also still relatively young, which gives us the flexibility to do so. But obviously, once you move into a different stage where children become involved, then obviously your viewpoint will change again. So that's why I say it's a very dynamic topic. And the biggest thing or takeaway of it all is it's not a one size fits all. It's all about your situation and where you are at the moment.
Yeah.
I think that there's not you can't say at any given point in time that renting always wins or buying always wins. I think it depends on each and every individual's situation and scenario and what you can afford or not afford. And based on that, I think there might be a golden thread or a golden answer for every individual.
That's a very good answer, exactly. It doesn't matter. You can't say, I must buy or I must rent. It's all to do with your current circumstances. So, yeah, well done. Very interesting stuff. And don't forget that the property investment that you make in South Africa or in any other country in the world is usually, for most normal people, the biggest investment you'll ever make, Ruan.
That's 100% spot on, Lindsay, and that's why I say I think that's why my advice to make sure that you have sufficient capital to put down a large deposit in order to pay down the asset or the property as quickly as possible. Otherwise, you will spend double the amount on interest on probably your biggest financial asset. And once again, the one most important comment I can make is that your primary residence is not an investable asset. It's not an asset that you should regard as part of your financial planning for retirement purposes.
Yeah, exactly. And the final thing is, it's very, very illiquid at certain times. Sometimes they change hands very quickly, but most of the time, and in South Africa at the moment, in certain areas, not so much Cape Town, but in Johannesburg, for example, terribly, terribly illiquid. Ruan, thanks very much for your insight. Ruan Brid is from Brenthurst Wealth, and that was It's My Money.
It's My Money was brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, an award-winning boutique wealth management company.